Hi, I'm Christine Ming Ming Garner. I grew up living in fear, raised in a doomsday cult. They taught me I would die at a young age, that I would never graduate from high school, college, have a family, or a career. In the years since my escape, I've been learning to overcome the fear and living my life with the purpose and by design. I'm a wife, a mother of three, an entrepreneur of a seven-figure business, and I'm on a mission to guide people to overcome their fears, to live a life of fulfillment as I have done. This is The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. Welcome to The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming Show. This is where I get to interview entrepreneurs and influencers on their stories of overcoming hard things to now live a life of fulfillment. I have an incredible guest. Her name is Carol Moriarty. Is that correct, Carol?
Mortarati.
Thank you. She is a former professional tennis player and New York Stock Exchange gal. Carol went from having it all to losing it all after experiencing a devastating loss, her ex-husband's suicide in 2011. But as a single mother, she never let herself give up, and she pushed herself to persevere through her hardships and win it all and even more back. Today, she helps women navigate through their own loss and ultimately regain their sense of freedom and win again in their life and career. Carol, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Christine, I'm so honored to be here, and I'm really excited for a conversation, and hope that what we discussed today will help your audience.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, Carol, what does your life look like today?
Today, I'm so fortunate because I live in New York City, which is one of my favorite cities that I've lived in, and I have a 30-year-old son who's my inspiration, and you know, I'm really fortunate to be able to work on my business and help other people really heal after loss and go on to live their best life.
That's wonderful. So tell me, the messiest part of your life, what did that look like?
Well, you can never prepare for loss because my loss was totally unexpected. I mean, up until then, you know, I played tennis professionally, then I went to work on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. I had been achieving all of my goals that I set. Everything was, you know, really going well in life. And then unexpectedly, my ex-husband, who I was very close to, died by suicide. And it was the worst day of my life. And it was really challenging. It was I really didn't know what to do, how to heal, you know, how to stop feeling the way I did. And so that was the beginning of my healing journey.
Wow. And how old was your son at the time?
21.
Wow. How did he deal with that?
Not well. It was both of us were completely shocked and devastated, you know, expectedly. And what's really hard is when I talk with other people who have lost someone, especially to suicide, is that people don't really know how to talk about it. So they don't talk to you. And you feel so isolated and, you know, so lonely and unsupported that it's very difficult because that delays your healing. So it was something completely new for both of us.
Wow. So I'm really glad that you bring that up because I'm really grateful that I haven't personally experienced somebody in my close circle committing suicide, but I do remember a woman in my neighborhood whose husband committed suicide. And you're right. I tiptoed around that actual conversation. I mean, like, you know, I brought her a meal and helped her in any way I could, but I didn't know how to really connect with her. Like, I felt like there was a barrier because I didn't know how to talk about it. So can you coach us through how do you connect with somebody after they've been through such a traumatic experience? If let's say they are a friend they're not a super close friend, but they're a friend, and you definitely want to do something to help them. Like, how would you recommend them have a conversation with them, how to connect with them?
Well, first off, unless you've been through something like this, you have no idea of how the person is feeling and what they're going through. So, I mean, you know, looking back, like, you really can't expect people to know what to say or do because they haven't really felt the pain. But I would recommend that just asking how the person is doing that day. Just let them know that you're there to listen anytime. And ask if there's anything you can do, even just maybe stocking up on supplies or walking their dog or picking their child up from school. Any little thing will help because in the moment, you know, it's they feel like a zombie. They really don't know what to do, how to function. And they really just want to talk about what happened. They don't want, you know, a lot of times people say the wrong thing, which makes it even worse. Like if you've lost a child, you know, sometimes people say things like, oh, well, you're still young and you can have another child, or, well, at least you have another child. And that's not what somebody wants to hear. They just want to hear that, you know, I'm really sorry for your loss. Let me know what I can do to help you. And a lot of times they won't know what they need help with. But so that's why I think I had a neighbor and they lost their child in an accident, and their friends would come mow the lawn or just bring them toilet paper and milk and just be there for them, you know, a shoulder to cry on. And that was really, really helpful. And for me, just having someone listen to how I was feeling was really important. So I think, you know, don't judge the person or expect them to. A lot of people like expect you to get over it within a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
Yeah.
And that's not realistic. It's not like a cold where you have a cold for 10 days and it leaves your body. You know, the grief is always a part of your life. That doesn't mean that you can't live an amazing life, but it's always a part of you. You know, you'll have occasional sad moments or sad days, and that's okay. It's just, you don't want that to continue on.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, I would love to learn a little bit more just about the grieving process, because from what I understand about grief, because I have lost my brother when I was 17. He died in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, I'm so and sorry.
Then, thank you. And then my dad passed away a few years ago from a drug and alcohol addiction. So both of those things were highly unexpected. And I've noticed that I grieve differently than some of my other family members. And so I'd love to learn more from you about, you know, the grieving process.
Yeah, well, each loss is different and every loss is a loss. So you shouldn't judge if you lose a parent, a sibling, or a pet. You know, a lot of people view things kind of equally. I mean, you can't judge because to that person, you know, a loss is a loss, and it's just as devastating to them as maybe your loss is. But, and why I think it's really important to be able to heal from loss is because it's not going to be your one and only loss. You know, we go through so many losses throughout a lifetime, and, you know, loss can even be loss of a job or, you know, maybe a divorce, loss of a home. I mean, there's so many different types of losses. That's why it's so important to learn how to heal from loss. So the first year is always the toughest because you go through all the holidays and, you know, it's you're really going through the stages, feeling anger, disbelief, guilt, shame, you know, all of those. But I think what really helps is if you can practice gratitude, even when you're grieving, it really helps shift your energy. So what I suggest is when you wake up in the morning to just think of three things, no matter how small you are, and just say, you know, just say what you're grateful for. And it really starts off your day and sets the intention of attracting more things to be grateful for.
Oh,
And yeah, it's, I know it sounds crazy. A lot of people are like, I'm feeling so awful. There's nothing I'm grateful for, but there are always things around you that you still can be grateful for. And it's really important, because when you start practicing gratitude, all of a sudden, maybe you're sleeping better. You're feeling a little bit happier. You know, you start noticing, you know, start seeing butterflies around when you're going for a walk, or you smell the flowers, like things start, you know, lifting up a little bit more. And there are people around you that still need you. Maybe you have other family members, or you have a child, and the people that are still here really need you. So it's important to heal, so you can, and not only, you know, heal for yourself, but for them as well. So gratitude was really helpful. Journaling was huge too. Yeah, journaling is really key. And it, even writing a goodbye letter to somebody, and getting out all the things that you didn't get to say to them, but you wanted to, is very, very therapeutic.
Wow. I really love that idea. Thank you for that. And you know, I'm so grateful that you brought up the gratitude, because as I have been really contemplating, what does fulfillment really mean to me? Which it's this evolving definition for me, but it really comes down to, for me, like progress and gratitude. And when you're talking about, you know, the gratitude practice, like practicing the gratitude, even in the midst of loss, that helped me immensely, especially because when I was 17, I didn't have, you know, I wasn't journaling, and I wasn't doing these gratitude practices. And as I grew up, I started adopting these habits. And when my dad passed away, I had this just 5 minute journal. And the first three things was, you know, what are three things that you're grateful for? And at the time, not only did my dad pass away, but I was bedridden from an illness that was just ravaging my body. And my family was all very upset with me. Some of them blamed me for him being alone when he died, because I had the power to bring him closer to me. And it was just all of this in midst of the grief. And it was really hard for me to want to get up out of bed. Actually, that was probably one of the biggest, hardest bouts of depression I've ever had. But I continued that gratitude practice, and that helped me tremendously. Not saying that it was like a night and day difference, but if you do that every day, no matter what's happening in your life, whether you're winning or you're losing, you know, in your life, it's just like, it's a foundation. And so making gratitude your foundation, for me, I have found to be a huge blessing in my life. So thank you for talking about gratitude in the midst of loss.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to make it clear that, I mean, I totally understand someone's pain and the loss they've gone through, but it's really a decision that's up to you. You know, you have a choice to either remain stuck in your grief and live the rest of your life feeling sad and lonely and as a victim, or you can decide that you want to heal and, you know, you're still here and you deserve to live your best life. So people, I'm so proud of people that make that decision, that although they've experienced something tragic, they are going to work on themselves because they feel that they do deserve to feel joy and love and happiness again in their life. And gratitude is huge. It makes such a difference. And it's something that only takes you, it could take 3 minutes in the morning. And also throughout the day too, I think it's helpful to just practice gratitude when, you know, sometimes you're online, for example, something small like getting a coffee, and And the person gives you a large instead of a small because by accident they fill a large cup. And, you know, you're just like, oh, just say that you're grateful for that. And little things start happening to you that you notice to be, you know, grateful for. It attracts more things to be grateful for.
Yes.
Maybe practice gratitude.
Absolutely. It's the laws of attraction, right?
Right, exactly.
Thank you. Something that really stood out to me when you talked about healing is how important it is to heal, not just for yourself, but for other people. And I think a lot of us feel like maybe we're unworthy of being whole, you know? And so like we can put off grieving down the road and maybe never even allow ourselves to heal because we feel like it's just about us. Like, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm not even worthy to feel happy or whole. So I'm not even going to work on it. But something that I heard recently that really stood out to me is, you know what, bad things can happen to you, like loss, and it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility to heal. Healing is your responsibility. And when I heard that, that just really hit home to me because there have been things in my life where honestly, I'm not whole from, but I've pushed it down the road thinking, and even pushing it under a rug, thinking it's not going to prevent me from making progress in my life. I'm going to continue to make progress. But I think about it and I'm like, if I would have allowed myself to heal, I would be a lot farther along in my life, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally, and think of all the people I could have helped along the way.
It's so true, Christine, because when you have loss, there's a lot of, you carry around a lot of guilt and shame, blame, resentment. And so if you don't work on releasing that, and that's why I think journaling is great, because you really can let out, you know, everything that you're holding on to, that you're bottling up. Mm-hmm. And you show up to your workplace, like you're bringing that with you. It's impossible not to. So you're not showing up at, you know, at the best version of you that you can. And so when you heal and you really come from a place of, you know, you're feeling love, you're feeling supported, you're feeling self-worth, you just show up to your business and you attract so much more. I mean, it's the energy that you're projecting that's totally different. And a lot of people think that, well, that loss happened to me 20 years ago, you know, kind of over it, but they're really not. And when you start talking to them and getting to, you know, digging a little bit deeper, they're really holding on to a lot of pain still. And it's never too late to heal. You know, you can heal something that happened 50 years ago. And it, when you do work on it, and you're the only one, as we've said, that can work on yourselves, you have to decide to do that. It's life-changing. Really, you know, it's all about going back to like when you were a kid and you just felt free and light, you didn't judge, you just had these big hopes and dreams. And so we've taken on all these layers, right? These different lenses of walking around with someone telling you you should be better or feeling not worthy or having loss after loss. And it really changes the way that we're showing up in life. And when you can release these layers, it's you show up totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. So much of this resonates with me. I recently realized how important it is for me to go through a healing process. And one of the things that I feel like I've lost, and I've always known this, but I've never allowed myself to feel like the bitter feelings or like resentment from it, because it's like built into my DNA to be positive. But what I've realized is it's okay to not be okay, and like buried or feelings buried alive never die. I read that book and it totally resonated with me, where I feel a level of resentment towards the fact that my childhood was taken from me when my mom moved me from our safe haven in Portland, Oregon, to follow the so-called prophet to the promised land, and we joined a cult. So from the age of 7 to 17, I felt like I had no childhood, and I have all this childhood trauma. And in the past, I've always just been like, you know, I forgive my mom. She did what she thought was best for us. But at the same time, that feeling would come back, and just I would think about all the possibilities I could have had as a child. And now I'm allowing myself to feel that. And I'm still going through this healing process. But how would you coach somebody through something like that?
Well, my business is called Forgive and Conquer, because forgiveness is huge. I mean, we blame ourselves for so many things. We blame others. And for example, after my ex-husband died, I felt a lot of guilt, you know, like I should have done more. I blamed him for a lot of things. And so I really turned to forgiveness, but it has to be 100%. It can't be like, you know what, I forgive myself, or I forgive myself, you know, there can't be a but in it, or you forgive somebody else, but it has to be 100% forgiveness. So it's really just tapping into that, knowing that, you know, your mother, for example, did the best that she could at that time, and just forgiving her for making those decisions, 100%, and really just forgiving and then letting go of that, you know, letting go of all the attachments you have to this, to that story, because we all have stories and they hold us back. So it's deciding to, like, I do some cord cutting, you know, it's letting go of the attachments that, that you're not truly forgiving 100%, because just from listening to you, it's like you know, you forgive your mom, but you're still resentful for the decisions she made. So it's really letting go of those.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's interesting about the whole thing is, and it's hard to even admit that right now. It's hard to even like let those words seep through my lips, because I've always felt this level of, I don't know, pride that I could overcome such a hard thing and almost come out unscathed. But that's really not the truth, because it's still very much a part of who I am, my past. But just that healing process, and I'm finally like dealing with it head on, instead of like brushing it under the rug. And there's been times that I'm like, man, this is so hard. I would rather have it sit under that rug and rot forever.
Yeah, that's true. But think of, you know, how would you show up for the rest of your life?
Exactly. And when I had made the decision earlier this year, because when COVID hit, that was my big pivotal moment in my life, because I felt like I was living a second chapter of my childhood. You know, like fear was being served on a silver platter everywhere we looked, you know, and stay in your homes and stay away from people and you could die. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm reliving this trauma. And I thought, how can I help the world? And I thought that the best way I can help is for right now to share my story of how I overcame that fear the first time. And if I can do it that time, I can do it again. And hopefully they can look at me and say, if she can do it, I can do it too. But truly, this process is not easy. So
it's not easy. Otherwise, everybody would do it. But
yeah, for sure.
But it's one step at a time, right? I mean, it's not like you're gonna practice gratitude one day and journal, the next day and then be cured. I mean, it's changing your lifestyle, and that takes time. It's creating new habits to live your best life. So, but it does take work, but it's really worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, what's your perspective on therapy? Like going to a therapist to
I
seek
think
healing?
it's good to have a combination. You have to do what works for you. For me personally, it was too slow, and I had a really happy childhood, so my therapist kept wanting to bring up my childhood, and so for me, that's when I found a life coach, and I resonated more with the non-traditional methodologies and something more spiritual. It just released a lot of pain, like taking someone down a journey and just or writing a goodbye letter. Things like those methods really released a lot of pain faster for me. So, I don't want to say what's best for everybody, because it's very individual. But I think, a combination of finding what really helps you, and then just honing in on that is best.
I love that. Thank you. So, for my audience who has been through any type of loss, and I love that you bring up, whether it's the loss of your dog or a child or your job, a house, your income, just whatever your loss might be, I know that they can learn so much from you through their trials. And how can they connect with you after this podcast?
I'd love to. I'll create something just for your audience, a PDF, so they'll be able to download that with some tips on how to move forward after loss. I have a Facebook page that's called Forgive and Conquer, and my website is also forgiveandconquer.com. So they can connect with me there. I'm on Instagram. It has all of my social media platforms, but I'd love to connect with your audience and help them any way I can.
Well, thank you so much. And forgive and conquer, isn't that? Wow, that's so powerful. And I'm so glad that you were able to get that URL, because that's good.
Yeah, when I was looking for names for a website, I didn't want it to sound heavy, because grief can be so heavy. I wanted to sound like really helpful and empowering, and let people know that there is life after loss. You can live an amazing life after loss. So I wanted it to sound very uplifting. So I'm glad that you love it.
I do. I really do. So, for all of you listening out there, please connect with Carol. I'll be inserting all of her links in our show notes for you to get the free download, also her website and her social media platforms. So, Carol, thank you so much for taking the time with us. It was such a pleasure.
Christine, I love speaking with you today, and I hope we connect again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. If anything you heard was inspiring or resonated with you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this with your friends and family. I'm Christine Ming Ming Garner. I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, always remember, fulfillment is your birthright.